It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And good afternoon. Welcome in. Christian Arkin, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons here with you until 6 p.m. today on a balmy Wednesday here in the Commonwealth. Happy Wednesday for some, I'm sure. Andy Hart's got a little hop in his step today. Wonder why.
Last night was a nightmare.
Oh?
No, that traffic driving home. Did you hit that over here? Like, the traffic sucked right when we left the building.
Yes,
sucked
leaving the whole way getting home. To the highway.
It was like a road that was closed or detoured. But the rest of the night, it worked out.
Rest of the night, pretty pretty serious win there. Something I was not expecting.
So one side was right. We talked about it yesterday.
One side was right. Yeah, both sides thought there was going to be a blowout. It was like a college football game, like a bowl game.
Yep.
It was not the way I wanted it to go. I think everybody probably knows that about me at this point. The main takeaway that I have from all of this is that I underestimated how unhappy everybody was. I think that's basically it. I think there's a lot of unhappy people in this country.
Yep.
They were unhappy 4 years ago when they voted him out the first time. They're unhappy now when they replaced Joe Biden. And Biden and Trump, by the way, both very unpopular presidents when they were presidents, right? I mean,
right.
Their approval ratings were very low. So I just think that there's sort of a cycle going on right now where whoever's in charge is getting the brunt of that unhappiness. So we'll see if that changes now. I'm skeptical just based on the way the last one went, but the numbers are what they are. This is how you accept that you lost, by the way, if you're listening.
Yeah, amen.
Doing a fine job. Yeah, this is how you do that. And congratulations. Good for that. You got all the power now, so let's see something. Let's see if you can govern. I'd be interested in seeing that.
This is the bad NFL team coaching cycle. The meanie coach, the nice coach. The meanie coach, the nice coach.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if the Patriots are in the
everybody
nice
just keeps
coach.
Losing, though. You keep picking in the draft.
Absolutely.
Again. You're up there right in the
and America again. Loses in the end kind of thing.
We'll see. Although I definitely say this. As I said in the crossover, my betting hot streak is over. It was fun while it lasted, and that's the end of that. Also a disappointing day for Patriots fans yesterday, maybe not to the same extent, but I would say yesterday was a bit of a disappointment if you were expecting any moves to be made. I certainly was. I thought that's really the only demonstrable way that this team and this organization can sort of look at what they have, decide that it's not acceptable, and maybe try and make some sort of moves that don't involve the waiver wire. Like, I thought this was going to be their moment to do that. This was going to be their way of doing that if they wanted to. And I'll be honest, I'm a little rattled that they didn't do anything.
Rattled?
Yeah, this season is just Jacoby Brissett and Drake May QBing last year's team. That's all this has been so far. And the only difference is you got Gibson instead of Zeke. You got Hooper instead of Gesicki, and the O-line's a little worse. And other than that, it's basically the same thing. You just have this combination of quarterbacks out there QBing you to a 2-3-4 win season. And I think Drake May looks like he can be a quarterback, but this team is proving to be, I think, more than a good, promising young quarterback away from competing. And I would have, at least this would have signaled to me, hey, you know, we recognize that and we're working on it. And instead, they did what they did in the offseason, which is say, yeah, you know, we're happy with what we have and we're just going to go forward like this. And I don't like that. I don't like that whole philosophy. I think that sucks.
Yeah, I was surprised they didn't do anything, especially the way they've worked the waiver wire practice squads. I thought there'd be somebody, and it's become en vogue to trade like a 2026 seventh round pick.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't trade their 2026 seventh round pick for some team's fourth linebacker. I don't know, fifth pass rusher, sixth cornerback, fourth running back. I continue to go with, you need everything. Every slot on the depth chart, not named number one QB, number one cornerback. You got one starting offensive lineman, essentially. Everything else you need, because you don't even have Christian Barmore out there. Another week where those of you that were thinking that was trending in a positive direction, Gerard Mayo said, nope, No Barmore practicing.
Mm-hmm.
No Cole Strange, if you thought he was going to save the O-line or be the fullback of the future, like I thought. None of that's coming to fruition. This team's so bad. Do something. Just look active. Look like you're, and that's, and it might be
busy,
fake,
right? Look busy. Look like absolutely. You're trying to improve things. It doesn't seem like they're.
I had a former coworker who used to say, if you kept like papers under your arm or like a clipboard or folders,
Costanza, look annoyed all the time.
Yeah, and he's like, people think you're either heading to a meeting, coming from a meeting, whatever, when really you're doing nothing. You're walking around the office shooting poo with everybody,
mm-hmm.
but you look like you're busy. You got a pen in your hand. Maybe you write something every once in a while. Elliot Wolf apparently doesn't believe in that. He's just going to stick to whatever his plan is. And that he has become more and more my concern, which is weird. Because I think Jerod Mayo has given you a lot of reasons to have concern. Has Elliot Wolf given you any reason to have any faith in him?
Nope.
Because the one thing he's nailed.
Drake May, I mean, that's it. But that fell in his lap. That was a layup. Yeah, right.
How many people would have screwed that up? Some people. Well, you would have.
I may have, yeah.
But
well, I don't know if it would have been screwed up. If I made a trade and buoyed up the roster a little bit, maybe it wouldn't be a screw
we'd
up,
have
but
nothing
who knows?
Right now, because we wouldn't.
We have nothing right now anyway.
No, but we have Drake May.
Yeah, I
guess. We don't have nothing.
We got nothing around him, and he's not good enough to elevate it right now.
But
right
your yet. Way, if we had like Joe Alt and an extra draft pick, what would we be watching?
Ugh. Yeah.
Yuck.
Maybe we would have gotten a different quarterback instead of Brissett. Maybe Russell
Maybe.
Wilson to go
that's
with.
Elliot Wolf.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, listen, it's
might
all,
have screwed that up.
It's all Elliot Wolf. So
I just have. I don't want to say I have no confidence in him because that seems a little strong at this point, but I don't really have confidence in him. And this is where I'm growing more and more concerned with the Andy Hart plan because they're putting all their eggs in the Andy Hart plan basket.
Well,
right, the money and the draft picks and the spring.
Theoretically, they are, but who knows if they're actually going to do that?
Yeah, there's some of that.
Yeah,
but even if they. I'm more worried, not that they don't do it, because I think they're going to do it. I'm more worried that they do it wrong, because
mm-hmm.
I think there's been indications they did last offseason wrong, the way they went about it.
Yep.
The idea that all these guys were available. Kyle Duggar was even listening. You know, Mike Onwenu or Godshaw, these guys, you're listening. Why are you listening? I thought you were signing foundational pieces, retaining some of the core that you then wanted to supplement and augment to jumpstart a rebuild in what, in my mind, I thought they thought was a 2-year plan. Well, if you screwed up year one, it's not a 2-year plan anymore, right?
Right. No, exactly.
Now it's like a 3-year plan. So Elliot Wolf, who I thought should have gotten the job, I'm fine with it. I think he has a good resume. Because I continue to say, the one argument against Elliot Wolf was what?
That he was a Bill guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than that, his resume is pretty impressive. He's bounced around a little bit. He's the son of a Hall of Fame talent evaluator. Oh, he was at the combine with a stopwatch when he was 6.
I mean, is that a real resume boost that he's a nepo baby? I don't know.
It's like,
is
Elliot.
It works really for Shanahan.
It does, but Shanahan's amassed his own resume. Like,
exactly. Now I was hoping Elliot Wolf was going to amass his own resume, and so far his own 1-year resume is... Hey, everybody, write it in 72-point font, Drake May, because I'm going to need you to ignore literally everything else I did.
Every other draft pick, everything.
So Elliot Wolf's resume is 2 words, Drake May.
Yeah.
That doesn't make me feel good about 7 rounds of picks and $137 million. Like, that's where I'm starting to go is I think they're going to try the plan that I want. I think they are going to be aggressive. The problem is aggressive without accuracy is like Bill said about Woody Johnson, right? Ready, shoot, aim.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't, I'm feeling less good about that.
Yeah. I don't think Mayo feels great about it. Jerod Mayo was asked about this morning. Why didn't you guys make any moves? He said, not sure. I don't know. You tell me. Why didn't this jackass make any moves? This guy who put this crappy roster that I'm supposed to go out there and try and coach? Why didn't we make any moves? I don't know. I'm not sure. Why don't you ask the guy who's in charge of all that stuff? Because I have no idea. And the rest of the answer, he's like, hey, it's all about value. It's about thinking about the present and trying to get better in the future. Well, yeah, we all can see the same present, can't we? We're all looking at the same present. We all see it. Like, we're not.
Yeah.
No one's coming back to the future like Marty McFly and has seen what the future looks like. We're all watching the present. The present blows.
And they
this present is the worst. You're the worst team in a bad league.
But they see it too because every week they move around the bottom of the roster. So they know their roster isn't great. So Elliot Wolf / Jerod Mayo see it. Why not add a little something? Take a shot. Don't tell me there was nobody available via nothing trade that couldn't have helped this football team. So I don't.
Even if it's trading a veteran for draft picks. I mean, I think that isn't that part of the vision, too? Like, if you're still rebuilding, that's something we all could have gotten.
I don't know what you would have gotten there. That's the problem.
For Godchow or Duggar? I mean, I think you could have gotten something for those guys.
Okay, you trade those guys, I might be trading you. I might be moving on from you and asking somebody, I don't know who that would be.
Trade Godchow? You'd fire him from trading Godchow?
No, I would have been okay if they had cut Godchow in the summer. Instead, they gave him money.
Right.
Why give him money if you're going to trade him? What were you doing?
Well,
did you think you were going to be good? Because that's what he was. He was a luxury for a good team.
On a good team, yeah.
A run-stuffing, like, role player. I can see the right team saying, yeah, we need this guy. There's going to be times where he's going to help us win football games. This team was never going to win more than 3 or 4 games. Some of us thought zero was in play. Some of us were close to being right. And you gave this big 30-year-old defensive tackle money, and now you trade him 3 months later? When did they pay him? August, September, October? No, 3 months later, you're trading a guy you just gave money to. Isn't that dumb?
I mean, it is. Okay. But you suck, so you have to start reconsidering how you did things and reconsidering your offseason and all of that. No, you didn't. The season hadn't started yet. You didn't know. You didn't know how bad you were going to be. This is worse than I think people were expecting. This is worse than I was expecting. Seeing them get blown out by all these teams who also suck, like that to me is worse than what I was expecting.
It's funny,
to see
it's better than I expected. I predicted 3 wins.
That's
they're
true.
On pace
you
for like
you
four.
Predicted 0 wins. So this
I said zero was in play.
Grossly overachieving.
Right, they are. They're actually winning more games than I expected.
I just don't understand why he couldn't get on the phone with Jerry Jones, who dished out a 4th-round pick for Jonathan frickin' Mingo, and say, hey, you know, we got a bunch of wide receivers who are very young and not very good, and we can maybe work something out here for better than this Mingo kid. Because I think whatever you think of, like, Pop Douglas – or, you know, K.J. Osborne, who's still here. All these guys are still here. Polk, you probably can't trade because he's a rookie. But, like, the rest of these guys, these, you know, Booty even, like, he's had problems this year. Is there any of these guys much worse than Jonathan Mingo? And it's a 4th-round pick going there for him. You knew Dallas was into wide receivers. You knew there were wide receivers teams out there that need that. And I don't know. It's funny to me that they couldn't get anything done. Even for someone like Osborne, who we all agreed was an addition by subtraction situation, where it's like, even if you're not getting much back, let's flush out some of the bad vibes here in this locker room. Let's flush out some of these guys who clearly don't want to be here. I mean, could he have said that any more clearly after that London game? KJ Osborne, that he does not want to play for this team? Come on. I mean, it was right. It was in black and white. We all heard it. You know, sorry, Evan Lazar. We all heard him say it. There's people writing it down and transcribing his exact words. I'm surprised that not even that happened.
So Dubs985, who is a bit of a muckraker in the Twitch chat, I'm not the biggest of fans, said, in all caps, like you would do, because no one wants your trash players.
Right.
There might be something to be said for that.
Sure.
I don't know how good any, like, Duggar can play for other teams. Godchow, I don't know. They have a terrible run defense, and he's the key cog in the run defense, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Even though people, oh, he's got the most run stuffs in the NFL, be a PFF or something.
I'm sure that there's people who called about him. I would imagine there's teams out there that called about Godchow, and they said, no, we're not going to trade him.
Well, oh, now you need him next year at 31 years old on a bad football team to pay him money. Like, to do what? To call out other players for playing selfishly? I'm not even sure he's a good leader. I'm not even sure he's a good veteran presence. Like, you're going to do podcasts with the coach again and wear a beret and a
whatever. Is that podcast still going on?
I feel like it's on hiatus.
I feel like I haven't heard much of that podcast.
And he was promising big guests.
Right.
Big guests. So, yeah, I think that petered out a little bit.
J.D. Like Vance on the next one, I heard.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a get.
That's not true. I didn't hear that. But, yeah, that's not a lot of that podcast lately. It's interesting how that all went. Either way, it doesn't seem to me like Jerod Mayo and Elliot Wolf are quite aligned on this particular topic and maybe on yesterday. It sounds like Mayo maybe wanted it to go a different way just based on the way he answered that question. You tell me. I don't know why we didn't make any moves. It's all about value. Well, yeah, how valuable is this roster right now?
Right.
Who do you have on this roster that's really like a steal, that you look at him and you say, man, we're really getting a lot of value out of this guy. Like, who, other than May, is there anyone? Gonzalez? Well, I mean, that's it.
That kind of goes back to our question yesterday that I asked about the whole league. Who's overachieving? Who's overachieving on the Patriots? If you go down the roster, who's overachieving? Maybe your top two players that we've talked about. Certain people thought May, certain people have to say May is absolutely overachieving, and that has to be led by Dan Orlovsky.
Yep.
He can't go from shouldn't play for 2 years to, wow, you got a Justin Herbert,
you got a Roethlisberger
stud. So he's overachieving. From my perspective, Gonzalez is overachieving. Mm-hmm. I thought there might be a little bit more rookie hiccups, so he's overachieving.
Yeah.
Who else?
Nobody.
I mean, We even lost the punter. He started
shankopotamus. Sorry, that's not true. Marcus Jones. Marcus Jones kick and punt returns.
Yeah, but he's good.
Has been good.
Isn't he achieving?
Don't we expect
him to be that?
He had a big injury last year. Yeah, but he had a big injury last year, and he missed the whole year, and now he's back, and he's good. So I'd say, yeah.
I'm giving him achieving.
Okay, fine. He's achieving, but he's good. There's not a lot of good players. Like, in terms of, like, who's playing well, he's playing well.
But for him to overachieve, for me, he'd have to play better on defense or do something else. I know he can return kicks and
punts.
Yeah,
that's fair, sure.
That's, like, the floor with him. Healthy, return kicks. There are not a lot of people. I mean, maybe if we wanted to get really sort of in the weeds, could you say, like, a Christian Ellis has overachieved?
Yes.
To be fair.
You can say that about Jacqueline, Roy, and Christian
guys I've
Ellis,
never heard of. I didn't have any expectations because I'd never heard of them, so they are overachieving those expectations. But Ramondre Stevenson isn't.
Nope.
Maybe Hunter Henry?
Overachieving?
I'm trying to be nice here.
See what he's on pace for,
but I don't
know about that.
He's definitely achieving.
He's achieving.
But he would be one maybe because no one else on the line. You people might think Verdarian Lowe. You people like Verdarian Lowe more than I do. Gerard Mayo said he might be an option to be the long-term left tackle.
I didn't like him in that Titans game.
Oh.
I didn't like him in the Titans
game. He's fallen back?
He took a step back in that game, I think, yes. Hunter Henry, by the way, is on pace, according to ESPN, for 74 receptions, 782 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
So he's overachieving.
I'd say that's overachieving.
I don't think he's ever had those catch or yard numbers, has he?
I don't think so. I'm looking at it right now. In his career, the most receptions he's ever had was 60, and the most yards he's ever had was 652. So in terms of catches and yards, this could be a record-setting season for him, but not a lot of touchdowns, obviously.
But he's overachieving.
Two of his three main numbers are
career high potential.
Yep.
So he's overachieving. So Hunter Henry, I'll put that. But very few Patriots are overachieving. So therefore, swap them out, change this, change that. That would be, I think this team is still in a, I don't know if they're teetering on a mutiny. I don't know if we need to go back that far. But John Jones told us something very interesting the other day that people picked up and ran with, and it went viral a little bit with some of the aggregators, Los, Talks, Pats, and those guys, that somewhat surprisingly, the locker room is still sticking together. Basically saying, we suck. It's kind of a poop show. And surprisingly, no one's pointing fingers and yelling at each other yet. It's only midseason.
Right.
And you're in the stretch of winnable games that you lost most of. There might be some beatdowns coming. The Buffalo Bills and some of these teams on the horizon could be beatdown games.
Yeah.
And that could go sideways. So I would have been injecting just a little life into the lock. Don't you think a trade is received as a positive?
If you
bring a player in, even if the guys don't know
him. Even if you've never heard his name before, I'd say,
they're bringing talent.
You're doing something. I don't know this guy. Maybe he's better than the crap that you have. Yeah, exactly.
And more so, if you just take a guy off a practice squad or the waiver wire, they're like, oh, well, you know, that was the free stuff out on the sidewalk after the yard sale.
Right.
If you trade a conditional pick or a future pick, that's the actual yard sale. Might be somebody else's junk. But you know what? That basketball is not in terrible condition, and they were selling it for $3. I bought a basketball for $3. I feel like I get a good new basketball, right?
Yeah.
So you could have injected even that most minuscule of life or optimism or whatever, and instead, you got nothing.
Yeah. Little new blood. I think that would have certainly helped. I don't think it would have hurt. I don't know that it could have gotten. It could get much worse at this point, despite what Jonathan Jones is saying about that locker room. And yeah, maybe they're not all pointing fingers at each other yet, but we were only a couple weeks removed from Evan Lazar and the mutiny, and that was based off of guys blaming each other. I mean, right? Isn't that what he was saying? Like, there may not be full-on explosive-type stuff. Guys, you know, swinging on each other in the locker room or anything like that. Like, who was that guy that punched out Geno Smith? You remember that? The guy on the Jets who punched out Geno Smith and then Fitzpatrick was the quarterback?
I do not.
His name was E.K. something.
Eagle
Someone
PK.
Looked that up. Can someone look up the guy who punched Geno Smith and tell me his name? But it's not like that.
Why
right?
do I have no recollection of this?
You don't remember
all?
This? Geno Smith, this guy clocked him in the locker room. It was during the Rex Ryan era. I don't know if it was his first or second year. But, yeah, they were arguing in the locker room, and this guy, a defensive player, just hauled off and cracked him. And then I.K. Can you say that over the air?
I am going to butcher this
it's
name.
It's okay. It's fine.
I.K. Inep. Inepali?
Inepali, yeah.
Inepali.
That sounds right. I.K. Enempali, something like that. Anyway, this guy hauled off and cracked Geno Smith right in the nose. And he had to miss like 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever it was. And I'm pretty sure Fitzpatrick went in and started winning some games for the Jets. But either way, that all being said, I don't think you're on the verge of that. But I do think in your locker room right now, there's a lot of me first guys. There's just a lot of guys who recognize that, yeah, this season's not going anywhere. I want to go out and get mine, and that's all that really matters, and to hell with the future plans.
Well, you have to be.
And that's sort of, I don't really blame them for that either. I mean, this is a short window of time that you get to earn money playing football in the NFL. It's just, that's the way it is, especially when you're the caliber of player that most of these guys on the Patriots are. I mean, that's just an unfortunate reality. So I'm not mad at them for having that attitude. It's not like there's anything really to play for. You're not a playoff team. You're not really, you want to try and win games, obviously, to feel good about yourself. But that's really it. I mean, you're not trying to compete for anything. And I think that that's sort of the type of attitude anyway, and the type of thing that a young player like Drake May, it's just not a good situation to be in if you're a player like
that.
Well,
and I also think for Drake May, as much as I think he's capable and ready for it to be the tent pole, to be the guy, the man, whatever you want to, that's more pressure that needs to be put on him. Mm-hmm. You already have the physical pressure, the on-field pressure, the make plays, I got to run, I got to throw, I got to be better at this, I got to be better at that. And now you're kind of asking him to basically just be Reggie Jackson, the straw that stirs the whole damn drink.
Right.
And that's a bit much, no? Like, I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot to ask. I think that if there was even one part of the team, like if the defense was really good, if you had an elite defense,
sure,
or top three, top five defense or something, and they were flipping the field and giving him short fields and you could rely on the run game and do all these things, if they were the team they build themselves to be, which coming into the year, we didn't love a ground and pound offense with a right. good defense. Like, that's boring. Like, no one really likes that. But if they came advertised as that and that's really what they were, Drake May could slot into that, and it's a better situation than this.
100%.
Right now, the defense is on the field the whole game because they can't stop anybody. Drake May's sitting watching on the sideline. And then when he gets into the game, his receivers can't catch the ball, and the run game doesn't exist, and there's no offensive line. Like, it's not – it's the type of situation I feel like the rookie quarterbacks dread coming into. Well, this is exactly – this is why Archie Manning didn't want Eli going to the Chargers. Like, you know, this is what they're scared of. This is what rookie quarterbacks – this is the exact opposite situation they want to come to.
If this was the plan, Ramondre Stevenson would be a star right now. Because he was supposed to be the workhorse. He was supposed to be Nick Chubb. He should be well on his way to probably 1,500 yards. He should have a bunch of catches. We would be talking about him, and you'd have more and more. Drake May still says it. Like, the other day, he said something to the effect, when I asked him about more designed runs, and he's like, you know, we can give it to a big guy like Ramondre and let him run. For 1.6 yards. You should be saying that about a guy who's hopefully averaging 5.5 yards, and then we could actually believe it. You have a bell cow. You have a workhorse, whatever you want to call it. You don't have that. And defensively, there's been times they've been okay. They've been inconsistent within games, certainly at times, drive to drive, whatever. But they don't have anybody who's been standout other than maybe Gonzalez. And I get pushback on Gonzalez now. I feel like I've turned a corner. Everybody was telling me he was
from one guy.
Well, everybody was telling me he was the greatest thing ever, and I was like, I'm not sure he's there yet. Mm-hmm. Now I feel like he's consistently pretty damn good, and yeah, there's one vocal guy telling me that I'm wrong, but there's others that are not quite as high. Even you, when I said he's a top three young corner, and you're like, is he?
Well, I was thinking of the other good young guys. There's a lot of good young corners in the league.
Well, Tyreek Hill is like memeing him into like immortality. That is the greatest thing ever. And you pushed back on that. So, and he doesn't have, it's not like he has pick sixes and big plays. He's not having like the Diggs year from a couple of years ago. Remember when he had like all those interceptions?
Eight interceptions or something? Yeah.
Because even that would be sort of an identity for this football team. Right now, the identity of this football team, the only positive identity is Drake May.
Yeah.
Who's played three games and a quarter. And, oh, by the way, has never won a game when he finished the game on the field. And has turned the ball over six times?
He has four interceptions.
Two fumbles?
Did he lose two fumbles? He lost one for sure. So, yeah, five or six turnovers.
So
five or six giveaways.
That's the identity of the New England Patriots.
Yep.
For better and worse.
Speaking of that identity, Drake May is up for an award. Ooh. It's a very prestigious award. It's the Pepsi Max Rookie of the Week Award,
ooh,
and he's up against some pretty stiff competition. We'll get to something that Drake May had to say this morning, and we'll get to your phone calls right after Stiz get you caught up.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins, all on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On what's trending? Drake May this morning. Interesting answer there, wasn't it?
In terms of?
I want to be a passer.
Yeah, I mean,
it's weird to have a quarterback even have to say that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just thought that was sort of a weird way of phrasing it. We know you want to be a passer, Drake. You're a quarterback that spent the third overall pick on you. You can run a little bit. You know, you're a good runner. But, like, yeah, of course you're supposed to be a passer.
But
like, they all want you to be a passer.
I do think there is some... Remember we talked about it when Josh McDaniels was on Games with Names podcast with Edelman.
Yeah.
He brought that up. That he had this, after watching, you know, pre-draft stuff, tape, North Carolina, what does Drake May want to be? Does he want to be a pocket passer? Does he want to do that? Or does he want to be...
Well, he didn't say pocket passer.
No, I know. And right. That's where I'm different. But there is that discussion, and there's always that question. Everybody wants an athletic quarterback, and then when they start paying him $50 million a year, they want that guy to not run that much anymore. And it's that balance, blend, whatever. Now, right now... He can't be a passer because he doesn't have anybody around him that'll allow him to do it.
That's a great point.
Right?
He's running because he has to run. He's running because it's the only part of the offense that's really working with any consistency.
He's the only guy.
And no one
can. F it, I'll do it myself is what I tweeted during the game, is what I felt like we were watching from him. Like, you guys all suck. I'm the only one who doesn't. I'm going to take care of it. And that's his reality. But I do think he also throws a pretty deep ball.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's, like, his throws are getting better. There were some of those pie chart numbers that Frisoco loves, like, you know, his, he has more of the elite tough throw something scores numbers, blah, blah. Like, he can throw the ball,
yeah,
but not to people who can't get open. That's your guy, Jalen Polk, 128 out of 128. Not to people who can't catch it.
My guy is Jalen Polk?
Yeah, I don't know. The
okay,
you just went with it.
Not sure where that happened, but all right.
Others that drop the ball,
mm-hmm.
Others that fall down in the middle of pass plays. That's happened an alarming number of times this year as well. To both quarterbacks, I believe. To different, I believe Booty fell down once on a route. Bourne obviously fell down this week. That may have changed things. And then the protection. So, yeah, he wants to be a passer, but unfortunately, the other 10 guys are not doing their part to allow him to be a passer.
No, they aren't. By the way, as I mentioned, Drake May is up for the Pepsi Max Rookie of the Week.
Ooh.
I don't think he's going to win anything. I think he's got some stiff competition here this week. In case you forgot, Drake May's line was 29 of 41 for 206 yards, a touchdown, and 95 rushing yards. He also had the two picks in the fumble, which I think is going to count against him. Jaden Daniels, who wins this thing basically every week, we're in week 9. He's won it every time except Keon Coleman won it 1 week. And the kid on the Jets, the running back, whose name escapes me at the moment.
Oh, Braylon Allen.
Braylon Allen, thank you. Yeah, he won it in like week 2 or whatever it was when he had that big game. Other than that, it's been Daniels like every single week of the year. And he had a better game, too, against the Giants. He was 15 of 22, 209, two touchdowns, almost a 129 rating. Ray Davis, the running back in Buffalo, had a bunch of yards from scrimmage. Roma Dunze had 5 catches for 104 yards for the Bears. Jatavion Sanders, the rookie out of Carolina, 4 catches for 87. And the guy who I think is going to win it is Cameron Kitchens, who had 2 interceptions, a fumble recovery, and a 103-yard interception return for a touchdown for the Rams this past week. I don't know how anybody beats that, but I'd say I got Drake May like 4th or 5th on that list, maybe. Like, that was, you know, he had a good game. And he had probably the play of the week.
I was going to say.
Outside of that 103-yard interception return. But I'd say other than that, his play at the end of the game, I mean, with zeros on the clock, that was an awesome play. But that's not enough, I think, to make him get recognized as Rookie of the Week. You know, it's just his numbers weren't good enough.
If you read the nominations, he's not going to win it.
Right.
If you watch the nominations, I think he has a chance. I think that play wows people. It wowed people the other day, the time of it, and he used the line again actually this morning telling people, I could have ended it much quicker if I had seen Hunter Henry open within like 2 seconds. Instead,
right.
I missed him and then blah, blah, blah. But the visual of that, he's putting together, if he were like doing his own little highlight film like kids have to do to like send to colleges
right.
and stuff, he'd be putting together a nice little clip package to send off via email to all those coaches.
I would agree with that. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones and talk to Matt, who is in Rhode Island. He has a thought on Hunter Henry. Hi, Matt.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, guys. Yeah, Hunter Henry, besides a couple bad penalties, having a great year because he catches the ball, and he's a professional route runner, which is probably a lot more than I can say for a lot of these other guys, who I just happen to think probably don't run the best routes. I'm surprised they didn't either trade or just cut a couple guys after the deadline. But Booty, I don't think a lot of. I think there's probably 20 guys on practice squads all around the league that are better than him. Bourne fell down that last play, but Booty absolutely could have disrupted that interception. Douglas, he averages 5 yards a catch. I mean, I don't know what he thinks he's doing. And Polk, you know, I like to give him a little more rope because just being a rookie, but, I mean, you probably usually see when guys can play in this league. And I was when Tommy Carman compared him to those two wide receivers to the two tight ends they drafted, and it kind of hit home on that.
To Asiasi and Dalton Keene, is that what he said? I don't know. I didn't hear that if you said it. But, yeah, that sounds about right. I'd say you can compare him to two wide receivers they drafted. I forget what year it was, but Dobson and Boyce, remember those guys? Yep. Aaron Dobson was a second-round pick out of Marshall or whatever he was. Good college player. Seemed like he'd make this. And this is when, by the way, this is when Tom Brady was the quarterback.
Yep.
You think about, like, all these wide receivers that they missed on that Tom Brady couldn't make any better. Isn't that unbelievable to think about?
But there was a double-edged sword there because he would blacklist
him
pretty quick.
He would freeze him out. That's true. Yeah.
It was like if, you know, if I throw to you and you're in the wrong spot once, okay, you use your mulligan. Do it again and I'm done with you.
Right.
I'm not even looking at you.
But still, they never got guys that could adapt to that. I mean, that's, you know, like eventually.
Yeah, they did. Jacoby Myers.
Jacoby Myers, who they didn't draft, and Malcolm Mitchell. Malcolm Mitchell, who they drafted in the fourth round. Him and Brady had a good thing going. He blew out his knee and that was the end of him. But other than that, you're right. He froze these guys out, and they never made their way back into the inner circle because they never could. They weren't good enough.
And I always found it interesting, the guy who was capable of working through that, Myers, talked about that all the time in that August. He's like, because I know if I don't do what Tom needs me to do, he's not coming back a second time. Like,
right.
He, like the elephant in the room he just talked about, and he knew, like, the pressure's there, and now there's other, you know, things. He was a former quarterback. Maybe he knew routes better and whatever the pressures of the position. I don't know. But that worked. And it never works. But the Booty thing, the Booty, I think, has been fine. Like, not good, not bad, fine.
I'd say he's been your most normal wide receiver,
yeah,
if that makes any sense. Like, he's
made plays.
About what I'd expect him to be.
Right.
He's reached the level of, like, okay, if this is Booty at his best, then I can live with this, right? Like, that's, you know, that's okay.
As long as I get two or three other receivers that are at
absolutely
the top of my
he's not
top.
Your number one guy.
Right.
But, like, you want Douglas to be better than what he is. Everybody wants Thornton and Polk and all those guys to be better than what they are. But this is all Booty is, and I don't know what he's on track for this year, but I can live with that.
Right.
I can live with it. There's a spot on the team. I can live with
an
that.
An occasional. He's an occasional playmaker.
Right.
Like I know everybody wants to be down on him, and I'm down on him. I hated the effort on the interception. I don't know that he could have changed a damn thing.
I don't think so either.
Except for his own perception.
I don't know.
Like, the only thing he would have helped is his own try hard or dismissive body language, right? Like, he might have helped his own aura.
Mm-hmm.
Some people wouldn't be complaining about him today. I don't know that he actually would have changed the play. But Polk, like, just because he's a rookie, how many mulligans does he get? How many times do you give him the benefit of the doubt?
I don't know that you do after this year.
What's the Parcells thing? If it doesn't bark as a puppy or whatever, it's not going to bark as a dog or bite or something.
I haven't heard that one, but I get it.
That
makes sense. Yeah.
Like,
you
he's
can
a
tell,
puppy who isn't, I don't like this puppy.
If your rookie can't play in his rookie year, it's rare that they're going to pick it up in their second or third year. I mean, it just doesn't happen very much.
Especially
if they can't play, which he can't right now.
Right. Especially when you have hopes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine on even like a Booty. He was a sixth round pick.
Yeah,
who had
him
a bad
and Douglas
rookie
both
year.
Were. Yeah, right.
But this is a second round pick that some people thought might be, could this be your number one receiver? Could this be your possession receiver? This guy's going to be a key part of the offense.
I kind of thought he would be by default.
Right.
Yeah.
And to go from abysmal to that is highly unlikely. He may not be as bad as he is right now forever. He might get better through work ethic. But to go from abysmal to, is this guy going to be one of your top two receivers? That seems like quite a bridge too far at this point.
Yeah, that's a big leap, 100%. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Don't forget, you can stream the show or listen on demand anytime. Just download the Odyssey app. That's AUDACY. Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go. We're going to be joined today by Adam Schefter at 3:45. That's about an hour from now. We'll also be talking with Brian Scalabrine at 4 o'clock. He's in the midst of a big blood feud now with Kendrick Perkins, which I'm dying to hear about. But when we return, the Bruins lost to the Maple Leafs last night. Not just the Maple Leafs. Maple Leafs without their best player, and it was an ugly one. And that Jim Montgomery seat might have just heated right back up. We'll get to that next. Jim Montgomery, following a Bruins shutout loss to the Toronto Maple Leafs, a team that they have owned for a couple of seasons now. Every playoff round they beat them. Nine straight games, I think we just heard there from Judd Surratt on the call on Nesson last night. You heard Monty talking about the special teams. Another killer for them again. It just seems like this keeps on happening. Three goals in regulation. I guess the fourth one was in regulation too, but it was an empty netter. Three goals, all of them power play goals. All three. Bam, bam, bam. This is a team that takes dumb penalties. This is a team that has a very poor penalty kill. And this is a team, and it pains me to say this, that is not getting good goaltending from Jeremy Swayman. He has not been good. He has not been playing like a guy living up to his contract. There may be some talk of how if he had gotten his ramp up and everything, it might have been different. And to that, I still have some bad feelings geared towards the Bruins on that. You could have gotten this done earlier and avoided all of this, but you know, it takes two to tango, and Swayman was out there tangoing his ass off in the middle of those tense negotiations there. I still think the Bruins should have paid him quicker, but this was something that got dragged out by both sides, and Swayman's clearly, I don't think, ready to start the year. He's not having a good year. His numbers are way down. His peripherals are way down, and that was a bad game for him last night, despite the fact that he's under siege with his man advantage every single night. It seems like that's most of the goals that he's giving up are power play goals.
Yes.
And that's, you know, I mean, listen, you're a professional goalie. You got to go out there and you got to deal with that sometime. You don't have to give up a goal on every single flipping power play, but it seems like that's just the way it's going with this team this year.
Yeah, Swayman's not like Mayo. He's not in the solutions business right now. He's not the solution. He's not helping them. I told you off air, like I clicked it on. So this was sort of a news dump game happening on election night. We talked about it yesterday. The NBA's off. The NHL's playing. They're playing the Leafs. You get shut out by the Leafs. This whole theory that, you know, they're always the get-right, feel-good team for the Bruins. Well, this might be the opposite of that because they had a little bit of momentum. Two games in a row they win, and then you go get shut out. And I clicked it on, got home late after I bitched about the traffic forever, and I click it on, and it's like, oh, pasta penalty. Right. Oh, goal allowed. Oh, this is the Bruins I've seen all year. And the 413 only needed two words on his text or her text. Pasta stinks was the response.
Pasta kind of stinks. Pasta kind of stinks.
They all kind of stink.
That high stick in the second period led to a goal. The one penalty that I thought was total BS was that one on Zadorov where Pacioretty just skated into him and they called that interference. I thought that was a very soft call. And believe it or not, the Bruins penalty kill killed off more penalties than they let in goals. There was like seven power plays and they killed off four of them, but they let in three goals. I'm sorry, that's just not enough. The Bruins had six power plays and they got nothing. They got a goose egg on the entire game. So yeah, Swayman's not playing well. I'll grant that. I'm not going to die on that hill now. I'm not going to lie to you people and tell you he's doing something he's not doing. He's not playing well, but Jesus, you can't win the game 0-0. This team's getting shut out way too often here. This is a problem. The whole thing's a problem. And I don't know. I mean, at this point, I feel like Montgomery's got to be counting his days.
Yeah.
Maybe even counting his hours.
And I heard there wasn't a lot of anger there. It was almost like resignation.
Yeah, that sounded like. Yep.
It was just like, you know, our special teams are what they are. The numbers are what they are. I am who I am. I'll probably be in the media next week or doing something else other than coaching this hockey team. And, you know, I always feel bad when you're talking about employment. You know,
right.
People got on me yesterday for saying KJ Osborne, good, see you later, get traded, which isn't actually being fired.
Yeah, he's not losing his job.
You're just collecting your paycheck in a different place, and that place is much sunnier and nicer
right.
if he goes to, like, the Chargers or some team out there. Whereas Montgomery, I don't know. I don't know what his coaching resume and reputation is going to be after this because it's weird. It's coach of the year. It's best regular season ever. Then
these guys always pop back up again.
I feel like he has to.
Right. Yeah.
He's a
Claude
guy.
Claude pop back up. Butch pop back up. They all pop back up.
But it feels like Keefe's report that he's on the hot seat feels more like a when, not if now. It's what is the point that pushes them over the line? They saved his job. He saved his job, however you want to phrase it, with a couple wins. But seemed kind of like a foregone conclusion now.
Yeah, does kind of seem that way. The Bruins this week have games against Calgary and Ottawa at TD Garden. The two games that they won to break up the streak, two shutout victories over Philadelphia and Seattle, I was pleased to see that, but we also knew that these are games against bad teams in the league. I know the Flyers beat them last week or whenever it was. But those
A bad team too.
They're a bad team. The Bruins now are not.
You're in the bad team mix.
You're not that bad. I mean, you're not bottom of the barrel. But like these are games that I think they need to be more up for. And you know, you want to talk about alarm bells. You want to talk about red flags. Is there a bigger one than getting shut out 4-0 by the Toronto Maple Leafs like that without Austin Matthews? Like that to me is a pretty significant one right there. That's one that you look at and say, okay, even the psychological edge that they have over a team like the Leafs isn't there anymore.
Right.
Like this has gone beyond whatever little tweaks you want to make to the lineup. Like this is like a team-wide thing.
They need a shakeup. They need a change. They need something. And it's sort of like we're talking about the trade deadline with the Patriots. Much different scenario though. This is a team that had aspirations, certainly playoff aspirations,
definitely,
and maybe deep playoff aspirations. And right now, I mean, you kind of dismissed it. And Philadelphia's a bad team. Bruins are a bad team. I'm not saying they. Oh, sorry. Let me take that back, Gerard Mayo style. They are playing badly right now.
They are.
They are playing bad hockey right now. Question is, how long do you play bad hockey for before you are labeled a bad team?
Good question.
I mean, how many weeks do you play where it's like, don't worry about it. It's this, it's that. Or, maybe you have good players. Good players who aren't playing well makes you a bad team.
Yeah.
Just because their resume, because you can look them up on Hockey Reference and it says they're a good player. Are they good players right now? Who's playing well right now? Who's a good player for the Bruins right now?
It's a good question. I don't know if I can answer that.
Okay.
I don't know if I have a good answer for you. I really don't. The Bruins right now.
That was very Gerard Mayo of you. Good question. I don't want to get into that right now.
Listen, I'm thinking about it, and I don't have one. Do you have one? Who do you think's playing well?
I don't think they're a good team right now.
The Bruins right now have...
Kastelic. I mean,
Kastelic, that's true.
In the Ullmark trade, he's actually being a bright spot for this Bruins team.
That's true. He's been good. I mean, I think that when they broke up that last line and sort of put everybody on different lines, that was the end of that. And you see predictable results there. The Bruins are a -12 goal differential. -12. That's bad. That's other than the Canadians, that's the worst in the Atlantic. That's the worst goal differential. They've given up 46 goals so far. The Detroit Red Wings, for example, 35. Toronto, 39. The Panthers, 41. Like, you're not scoring, and you're giving up a ton of goals, and you on the periphery anyway, it's not there yet. They have 13 points or whatever it is, and I think that they're still within striking distance of the wild card, but still. It's too early to be talking about this anyway, but that's kind of the point is that, you're winning a couple of games here and there, but when it comes to the way these games are going, you're down there with the bad teams. I mean, it's as simple as that. You're down there at the bottom with the bad teams when it comes to goal differential and actually showing up in some of these games.
You are the second wild card right now. I just
checked. Are they? I thought they were outside looking in. Okay,
13
fine. So
points makes you right behind the Capitals at 16 points as the second wild card, according to the standings on ESPN.com.
Okay, very good. So they're still in it. Still holding on. Still got that second wild card with a bunch of teams all clawing right behind them. But, So you're still in the mix for that. But the way things are trending, unless you start scoring more and defending a little bit more, that's not going
to
be the case for
much
longer.
To me, it's the defending more.
Yeah.
I kind of have given up on the scoring more.
They're the only current playoff team right now with a negative goal differential. And it's -12. I mean, that's bad. That's a bad sign. You know, it's not just a couple of games here and there. Like, you're getting blown out. You're getting the no doubt about it type of games, and you're not scoring. Like, that's all there is to it. 617-779-7937. The Celtics are in action tonight, taking on the Golden State Warriors at TD Garden. Steve Kerr's in town. Probably a very sad Steve Kerr's in town tonight. We'll get to that. We'll get to this matchup. No Jaylen Brown. What's Jason Tatum going to do? We'll discuss it next. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.